also acknowledge the presence in that generation of more conservative composers such as Amy Beach, Aretha Parker, being two Americans, Edward McDowell, who were not, especially in the first instances at the time, expecting to challenge established compositional practice, but rather to confirm it, to reinforce it, to emulate it, in the view that one could do no better than try to master the Germanic tradition of the 19th century. Obviously, Claude Debussy is another member of that generation, born in 1862, 2 years younger than Mahler. And he, like Mahler, was one of the most influential composers of that generation for the 20th century. And indeed, if we want to track a succession, the way I tracked one for Igor Mahler, from Debussy we would go to Igor Stravinsky, as well as to the younger generation of French composers who become active after World War I. That includes Francis Poulenc, Darius Milhaud, and others. Those of you working on the music of George Crumb know that Debussy's and Mahler's influence is reflected in that composition. So they're both of their reaches are far longer, but in the most immediate sense, from one generation to the next, we go from Debussy to Stravinsky and to the present. Now, the reason Debussy was influential was in part because he challenged the old hierarchy of European musical language. And I'll explain what that hierarchy is and how he challenged it in just a few moments. He was educated at the Paris Conservatory. Paris Conservatory is obviously a citadel of tradition. To conserve is to preserve. The conservatory suggests a place in which tradition is maintained. It was traditional in both its approach to musical pedagogy. It was traditional as well in its assumptions about proper musical expression, the harmonic language to be used, the genres to be composed, the instrumentation, and so forth. And after his time at the Paris Conservatory, actually concurrent with his time at the Paris Conservatory, Claude Debussy came to know and to become absolutely captivated by the music of Richard Wagner. But later, beginning in the later 1870s and definitely in the 1880s, he came to reject Wagner. Indeed, we find that in the 1870s and in the 1880s, French composers are beginning to separate themselves from Germanic influence. This is part of this post-Romantic development. They did so in part, it seems, not simply because of musical preferences, but also because of the consequences of the Franco-Prussian War, a very short war lasting from the years 1870 to 71, in which the Prussians defeated the French, occupied Paris for a time, took back the provinces of Alsace and Lorraine, demanded that they be allowed to identify their sparkling white wine and champagne, I'm not kidding, and in other ways humiliated the French. After this, gradually, all things Germanic became suspect, and in place of it, there was gradually rising a desire for a truly French music. Indeed, as one commentator put it, the composer and critic Eric Satie, in a letter to Claude Debussy sometime in the 1880s, France needs its own music, preferably without sauerkraut. Debussy evolved new approaches to musical composition. And essentially what he began to do was to set aside the old approach to composition that we all sort of take for granted. The notion embedded in the sonata form, in the Turner reform of the character pieces, in many other genres and forms, that a composition basically begins in the tonic, in some manner moves to a related key, and at the conclusion of the piece, returns to tonic. Very conventional. We associate this, of course, with the essence of the harmonic structure of the sonata form, right? By the end of the exposition, you're in the dominant key or the relative major. You migrate the development section through a variety of other keys, but come the recapitulation, you're back home. And this is standard. There's a sense of departure and return embedded within the sonata form and within the notions of tonic and related keys. Instead of using harmony to accomplish this aim of departure and return, he didn't abandon that, just harmony as a clear and obvious driving force. Debussy used patterns of sound. He used texture and timbre rather than chords to drive his sense of departure and return. So that we don't have literal recapitulation at the end of one of his pieces, but we have the suggestions of recapitulation with which we are satisfied because it sounds like this. The instruments are the same instruments given the context, but it's not as if it is an exact replication. As one scholar put it, Debussy begins, as any novice composer does, building on practices of those who preceded him. Therefore, in his early work, the simple and classical patterns of contrast and return still govern larger forms. But later on, that will change. Let's consider, as an example, of a piece in which we have clearly the notion of contrast and return, but we're beginning to get this notion that return does not have to be, indeed will not be, literal. When we consider the composition, The Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun. How many of you have studied the harmonies of that in a theory class? All right, many of you have, and the rest of you will. Thank you for that. Let's hear how it goes. You all know this, I'm sure. All right. No, that's not how it's
done. That's his progressive.
Yeah, right. But he took the summer tree. It sort of seems so benign.
You ever feel this in the
group? Yeah. You can see the range that opening solo is a trite tone. have what amounts to a crime, as a return of the opening. In the final portion of this prelude is really another kind of character piece. Wrong. to another place in time. Without any suggestion of legal capitulation. Statement of partial return? No. Statement of partial? Maybe circling back? Yes. Circling back? Yes. Closure? Minimal. Sense of returning to the opening? Non-existent. Offensive to the interior? Fine. What seems, and it's all complete. If the WC is beginning something, it will be taken up and plugged in future. This is the original, this is the European hierarchy. Harmony, melody, rhythm, texture, timbre. You always orchestrate last. This is the king. This is the prime minister. These are the courtiers. And the 20th century, the WC is one of the Courchauses. Something much more democratic, which is to say that any of the five basic elements of the language can be used to determine the form, to organize music and thought. It's not harmony first. Historically, in the conservatory, harmony was first. Harmony is first in your study of the musical language here, 4 semesters later. How many of you take courses in rhythm? How many of you take courses in texture? How many of you take courses in timbre? Yes, instrumentation and orchestration. But you went to the piano score first and then orchestrate, right? Because the harmonic and melodic you precede the other. What WC is saying in this piece, and what Schoenberg is saying, other